All right. And let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin. Father, we do pray for your blessing upon each of us here. And may our hearts be attuned to your word. May we hear, may your spirit fill your servant to give the words. And Father, rekindle our hearts, revive our hearts. And we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This song, Revive Us Again, this is a wonderful song, a reminder of how we need God's moving in our hearts. Also want to share with you this morning announcement, I guess I could say. Our grandchild was born just a little over a week ago, Aaliyah Lynn, on May the 10th. 8 pounds, 11 ounces, 19 and a half inches. And this is number 11. So praising God for his blessings. And pray for the baby and mother. She already has more hair than I do. I don't know. All right. Today's title of the message is Stop Thief. Stop Thief. I found out there's a game by this name. Stop Thief. I've never played the game, but I have experience with thieves. I was thinking about, I don't know if you have any experience with thieves or robbers, but I have three experiences that others have stolen from me. The first time was in Beijing. Just give you quickly what happened here. I was in Beijing and the Temple of Heaven, and visiting the Temple of Heaven with a couple of friends. And I was taking pictures inside, and all of a sudden I felt the crowd squeezing me in. And I didn't realize what was going on. And a little hand slipped into my pocket and took out my wallet and had to report it to the police, and fortunately, my money was all in my pouch or on my neck. So they only got the credit cards, but had to report that they were missing, and of course, my driver's license was missing. But that was an experience. Felt like I was robbed, that something was taken. And then the second experience was in Kansas City. And this was a very, we used to have classes on Saturday morning where we would teach Chinese. And we had several that would come, especially those who had adopted children from China. And so we had our classes, and this man and this woman came, and they were in the building, and they asked, we were setting up for the classes. And so they asked me if I could, they wanted to come and visit the church, if I could get some information about the church for them. And so I said, sure, I'd be glad to do that. So I left the classroom and went to get the information. And little did I know that they stole my computer while I was gone and walked off with my computer. Wow. And that was difficult because I had years of teaching lessons on that computer, years of pictures on that computer. The cameras in the church caught the thief. And the police caught the thief, and they did make some restitution, but they could never replace what was taken. And then the third time was about a year ago. In Grandview, we had loaned our van to our son, Tim, and his family to use. And in the middle of the night, someone broke into our van and stole it. And again, that was reported to the police. And apparently the thieves had driven as far as they could till they ran out of gas, because it was found over in Kansas City, Kansas, the middle of the road. They left it there, but they had done over $3,000 worth of damage on the car. I don't know, maybe you've had experiences of having people steal from you. And it's a feel like they've taken a part of you when you're stolen from. Nehemiah, we looked at in chapter 4, he tells about attacks from outside, the enemies attacking from outside. And then here in chapter 5, he talks about the attacks from within. And in the middle of a great work, they were building this wall, restoring Jerusalem. For a great God, what would stop this great work? Not the attacks from without. The enemies attacking. We saw in chapter 4 that with one hand they held a sword and with the other hand they continued building the wall. That did not stop them. But from within, the attacks from within stopped the work. And I want you to take a look at today what happened, these attacks from within. Stop, first of all, to cry out. There was a great outcry. Now, the men and their wives raised a great outcry against their fellow Jews. I don't know if you watch the local news or not, but there's a news channel that has what they call the rant. The rant, of course, is where people can outcry, they can say what they don't like about Kansas City or whatever. It's called the rant. Sometimes people say good things. It's called the rave. I guess you could say the rave. What's good about Kansas City, but the rant. So here we have these men and their wives ranting, outcrying about what's going on in Jerusalem. First of all, we see that some who would say, we must get grain. Some were saying, we and our sons and daughters are numerous. In order for us to eat and stay alive, we must get grain. They were in need of food. And then some cried out, again in their rant, we must mortgage our property. So others were saying, we are mortgaging our fields, our vineyards, our homes to get grain during the famine. This was a time of famine where food was scarce. And because of that, they had to mortgage, many of them mortgaged their property so they could afford to buy food for their family. And then some would say this, we must borrow money. Still others were saying, we have had to borrow money to pay the king's tax on our fields and vineyards. We can't even afford to pay the taxes. And then others said, we must subject our children to slavery, although we are the same flesh and blood as our fellow Jews, and though our children are as good as theirs, yet we have to subject our sons and daughters to slavery. In order to feed their families, some of them had sold their children to slavery to their fellow Jews. And so there was a feeling among the people, we are powerless. Some of our daughters have already been enslaved, but we are powerless because our fields and our vineyards belong to others. And you know, there's a feeling when you're stolen from, when somebody takes something that belongs to you, a feeling of powerlessness. Having my wallet stolen, having my computer stolen, having our car stolen, there was a feeling of powerlessness. How could somebody do this? And so, stop. The first stop is to outcry, to rant. What has happened? And then the second, we see a stop to listen. The great response. Be a good listener. Nehemiah said this, when I heard their outcry and these charges, I listened to them. All right? We need to have a good listening ear to others. We need to hear what they are saying. And then we see Nehemiah's reaction to have a righteous indignation. I was very angry. Okay, now this was a righteous anger. This was an anger about what had been done. I think about Moses. When he came down off Mount Sinai, he had the Ten Commandments. And saw what the people were doing. They made a golden calf. And out of righteous indignation and anger, he threw down the commandments that were on the tablet. I think of Jesus in the temple. He had a righteous anger. He saw those who were selling and the temple and made it into a marketplace. And so he scattered them. He had a righteous anger. So Nehemiah said, I was very angry when I heard these words. Now, in anger, we have to be careful, as the Scripture warns us, to be angry but sin not. All right, anger is not a... There can be righteous anger, but doesn't give us excuse to sin. So we have to have also right thinking. So Nehemiah said, I pondered them in my mind. I thought about these things. Sometimes you feel like if I could only get a hold of that person, that thief that stole, if I could get a hold of them out of anger. But you think about it and pray for them. I actually did pray for those who had stolen. But it is something that we need to have a right thinking before we act. And then Nehemiah also made a bold accusation. And then accused the nobles and the officials. I told them, you are charging your own people interest. Do you realize what you're doing? You're stealing from your own people. So we need to stop and listen. There has been an outcry. We need to also stop and listen. And then number three, we have to stop and deal with the problem. Now, I'm sure there was a great work going on rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. The attacks from without, they did not stop during that whole time that they were attacking from without the enemies. But with one hand, they defended themselves, and with the other hand, they built. But when they dealt with this problem from within, there was a need to stop and deal with this. And so they had a great meeting. So I called together a large meeting to deal with them, Nehemiah said. You know, the easy thing is to bury our head in the sand and to ignore the problems. That's the easy thing to do. And sometimes we don't like to deal with the problems. We just like to put our head in the sand and wish they would go away. But when you think about the problem, it's not just all the problems. Oh, there's this and there's that and there's this. But realizing what are the solutions. Thinking about what are the solutions to these problems. And so Nehemiah wanted the people to consider not just the problems, but the solutions. Now, here are some of the solutions that they took to these problems. First of all, they would redeem others. And said, as far as possible, we have bought back. Bought back is the idea of redeem. We have bought back our fellow Jews who were sold to the Gentiles. Now you are selling your own people only for them to be sold back to us. So they gathered their resources, and those who have been sold as slaves to the Gentiles, they bought them back. That was one solution. But there were other solutions. And the idea that they were willing to do that, sacrifice to buy them back, we see this brought silence to the oppressors. They kept quiet because they could find nothing to say. After they heard of this, there was nothing they could say. And then there was rebuke of the oppressors. And so I continued, what you are doing is not right. What you're doing is wrong. He cried out to those who were pressing from within. And rebuke is sometimes necessary. What you're doing is wrong. Wake up. And then Nehemiah also corrected the oppressors. Shouldn't you walk in the fear of our God to avoid the reproach of the Gentile enemies? How sad it is that those attacks without did not stop the work, but the problems within stopped the work. And it brought a reproach. It brought a reproach to them because what the others saw had happened. Yes, we have to stop and deal with the problem. There are other things that need to be done. Restoring others. I and my brothers and my men are also lending the people money and grain. And let us stop charging interest. We've got to stop this problem. Give back to them immediately their fields, their vineyards, their olive groves and houses, and also the interest you are charging them. 1% of the money, grain, new wine, and olive oil. We have to restore them and stop this problem. But he didn't stop there. Nehemiah also held others to their word. We will give it back. They finally acknowledged. They said, and we will not demand anything more from them. And we will do as you say. And then I called together the priests, the leaders, and made the nobles and officials take an oath before God, a promise to do what they had promised. I also shook out the folds of my robe and said, in this way may God shake out of their houses and possessions anyone who does not keep this promise. So may such a person be shaken out and emptied. So this motion of the robes, this idea is, if you do not keep your promise, may God shake your world up. Shake out your house. Shake out your possessions of anyone who does not keep this promise. And at this, the whole assembly said, Amen. Now, Amen, we've seen before, means so be it. Let it be. And then they praised the Lord, and the people did as they had promised. They did as they had promised. Number four, we need also then to stop to be an example. All right? Stop and outcry whatever the problem is. Let it be known. But then we stop to deal with the problem. Okay, we have to stop and listen, and then stop to deal with the problem, and then stop to be an example. Now, here's the great example that Nehemiah gave to them. He did not use the official expense account for their household. Moreover, from the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, until this 37th year, 12 years, he had appointed as governor. Neither I nor my brothers ate the food allotted to the governor. I did not take advantage of that. I could have, like other governors had done in the past. But I and my brothers, my family, we did not take advantage of that position to be in governor. Then he adds to that, he did not tax people for food or drink. But the earlier governors, those preceding me, placed a heavy burden on the people and took 40 shekels of silver from them in addition to food and wine. And their assistants also lorded it over the people. But out of reverence for God, I did not act that way. Other governors have done this. They had taxed the people to build a house for themselves. But Nehemiah did not do that. Out of reverence for God, reverence, out of fear for God. Young people, last Friday we looked at making wise choices. We're looking at the foundations of seven principles every teenager needs to know. And then this summer we're going to study the book of Proverbs. And the first step in wisdom is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So what is a healthy fear of God? The awesome reverence of God, deriving from being sensitive to His glorious, holy, and majestic person, resulting in respect and obedience. So reverence is really the idea of the fear of God. Reverence for God is a feeling or an attitude of deep respect, tinged with awe and obedience to God. So when we talk about having a fear for God, we have a respect for God and a desire to obey. So out of reverence for God, Nehemiah did this. He also did the work without acquiring land. Instead, I devoted myself to the work on this wall, and all my men were assembled there for the work. We did not acquire any land. He did not take any bribes for the work. He did the work and did not accept any bribes. He did not acquire any land for doing it, the work. In fact, he also shared what food he had with others. Furthermore, 150 Jews and officials ate at my table, as well as those who came to us from the surrounding nations. Each day, one ox, six choice sheep, and some poultry were prepared for me. And every 10 days, an abundant supply of wine for all kinds. In spite of all this, I never demanded the food allotted to the governor, because the demands were heavy on these people. He entertained guests in his home and asked nothing in exchange for it. And the thing is, he did what he did to please the Lord. Remember me, Nehemiah said, with favor, my God, for all I have done for these people. He did it to please God. And so here was a great example for them to follow. And so when we are faced with a problem, yes, we stop to cry out what the problem is. Yes, we need to stop and listen. Yes, we need to stop to deal with the problem. And yes, we need to stop and be an example. How do we apply this? There are some important lessons that can be learned. First of all, we can expect that problems will arise among us. Some of those problems may be like we talk about the elephant in the room, a problem that everybody knows about. The elephant in the room. This is a known problem that Nehemiah had to face because everybody knew about it. When the greedy Jews at the time of rebuilding the walls stole from them by charging interest and so forth, they had to deal with this known problem. Sometimes it may be an unknown problem. I think of the story of Achan. And when Joshua entered into the land, they had a wonderful victory against Jericho. And then they came to the small town of Ai. And they thought, well, surely we can go up and take this small town of Ai. And Joshua told the people, as we go in battle, you are not to take any spoils. You're not to steal and take that for yourself. And there was a man by the name of Achan. And the unknown problem was the covetousness of Achan. He stole from battle and he hid it in his tent. He buried it in the floor of his tent where no one would know about it. And what happened is that they did not experience God's blessing. Instead, they were defeated in that battle. They had previously beaten a larger enemy, but a smaller town defeated them. And they cried out to God, "Why is it we have lost in battle?" And God pointed to them that someone had taken and stolen that which did not belong to them. And so they began to cast lots and find out, who is this that has done this? No one would confess to the wrong. And so they took by family and then narrowed it down from tribe to family, and then finally it came down to Achan. Not until he was revealed did he tell what he had done. And because of that, his sin had brought defeat to the whole nation. So the problem may be an elephant in the room. It may be something that everybody knows about. Or it may be a mouse. Nobody knows about it. It's tried to be kept secret. But whether is it an elephant or a mouse, we have to deal with it. I want you to consider with me these words here in Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 to 10. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees, my law, and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. This is really a call for revival. Return to me, and I will return to you. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal, a man, rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. And so the people asked, how have we robbed you? And God told them, you've robbed me in the tithes and offerings. And then he calls upon the people to test me in this, because God wants to pour out his blessing. And if we want to experience God's blessing, if we want to experience God's reviving, then we must be obedient to him. I have a journal where I keep my daily readings in the Bible and write some notes. And so this week I was studying this. What does the Bible say about tithing? Do not rob God. You know, a tithe is a tenth. So tithing meant giving 10% of one's earnings back to God. You know, Jesus said, give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. We have no problem paying taxes, but are we willing to give our tithe to God? Remember this very important principle. We are not owners, but we are stewards. We are managers of what God has given to us. Everything we have belongs to God. So we need to get out of the idea of owning this. It belongs to God. We're just managers. We're managing what God has given us. And Paul says to be bountiful and cheerful givers, not grudgingly or out of necessity, promising that God will reward us, those who are generous. You see, God's promise here in Malachi chapter 3 is true. When we tithe, we put God first. When you do that, you put God first in your life, and all things begin to happen in your life that you will never experience until you do it. We prove God's promise try it, test me and see. We prove it and we profit from God's provision. God provides what we need. And we praise God's name. And we personalize God's word by obeying it and applying it to our lives. And we practice godliness. You see, obedience requires a step of faith. And we participate in God's work. So God wants to bless us. God wants to pour out His blessing upon us. Sometimes we have to stop and ask God to renew our hearts and help us to put Him first. A little over a week ago, our youth group stood up here on May the 13th. It was a special time, and the parents stood behind them and supported them. And the youth made vows of purity. Before God, they were promising to keep my heart pure, keep my thoughts pure, keep my actions pure. And in support, we prayed with them for this. And now I think that we see the example of our youth. They're willing to make a promise to God. What vows do we need to promise to God? What step of obedience to God will you make? What steps of obedience do we need to make before God? And we need to confront problems courageously. Yes, we pray for God's help and tackle the problem as soon as possible. And then number three, we be sure that our own integrity is intact and that we are obeying God. And number four, we see in every problem an opportunity for the Lord to work. You know, it's interesting, the Chinese character for crisis, sometimes we face crisis in our life, is made up of two characters. Wei Ji is dangerous and opportunity. We may be facing a crisis in your life, and it may be very dangerous, but it's also an opportunity to see what God has for us. And if we depend on God's wisdom, we will get what God can do. And so this song, I want you to consider the words of this song today. It's in our hymn books and song number 647. Revive thy work, O Lord. Revive thy work, O Lord. Now to thy saints appear. O speak with power to every soul and let thy people hear. Revive thy work, O Lord, and every soul inspire. O kindle in every heart, we pray, the Pentecostal fire. Revive thy work, O Lord, exalt thy precious name, and make thy love in every heart be kindled to a flame. Revive thy work, O Lord, and bless to all thy word. And may its pure and sacred truth in living faith be heard. Revive thy work, O Lord, and make thy servants bold. Convict of sin and work once more as in days of old. Revive thy work, O Lord. Give Pentecostal showers of blessing. Be thine the glory, thine alone, the blessing, Lord, be ours. And so the chorus, revive thy work, O Lord, while here to thee we bow. Descend, O gracious Lord, descend. O come and bless us now. We started out by saying to each other, may God bless you. And God wants to bless you. Maybe we have to stop and think, what is hindering God from blessing us? And ask God to, as we return to Him, to return to us and to revive us. Let's bow in prayer together. Oh Lord our God, we come before You in prayer. We want Your blessing to be upon our lives and upon our families and upon this church. And we cry out to You today. Oh God, show us what might be hindering those blessings from coming. Help us to return with our whole heart to You, that You might return to us. Revive us today. Lord, help us to be willing to confess any wrong or sin that may be in our lives. Help us, Lord, not to rob from You. Help us to fear You and to reverence You, to give You the respect that is due Your name. And Father, I pray that You would do a work in our hearts. You have a blessing that You want to pour out to us. And Father, may we turn to You and make a promise in our heart that we will obey You and that we will follow You and then that we will experience Your blessing. Speak to our hearts, we pray today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.